This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in our series entitled Make a Difference. Make a Difference. I'm going to start off last week saying the same thing that I'm going to say this, or I'm going to start off this week saying the same thing that I did last week, and that is you are never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way, than when you're bringing fresh air to someone who feels that the world is closing in on them. And that is what it's all about. That is why our church exists. Our church exists to make a difference. Our church exists to do what, class? Yeah, to make a difference. Proverbs 29 and 18, the first part of that, you'll see it on the screen. It says, where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish, right? And so it is so important that we understand that vision gives us life, that vision gives us to thrive, causes us to thrive. That is why I believe the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. That is not a competitive statement. It is just a true statement. Being in an environment of faith, around people of faith, will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. You know, you have to come to a church that where you can see, where you can hear the vision and you can go apply the vision in your life. And so, you know, I attended a pastor's conference several years ago back in California. And the first thing the speaker said when we got up, because, you know, as pastors, a lot of us go to a lot of what we call church growth conferences, and that's good. And they're teaching us different things that we need to understand. And so I was there in California. It was my first time going. A very popular person, if I say his name, you know who he was, just an awesome man of God. And the first thing he gets up and tells all the pastors is this. He says, guys, it's not about church growth. It's about church health. Because he says, whatever is healthy is going to grow. Does that make sense? And so healthy churches grow. Well, that's a good place to clap. Amen. And so, you know, and when he said that several years ago, it really, you know, really helped me to make sure that I was honing in on the fact of making sure that our church was healthy. Our church is extremely, extremely healthy. As a matter of fact, I was gone for a few weeks recently, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, and, you know, everything kept flowing the way it's supposed to flow. You got it. Services were amazing. Every week people were giving their lives to Jesus. I mean, you know, you were being blessed. And so that is a good sign of a healthy church. I think that another good sign of a healthy church is that we have balance. And I think that balance is key in a church. Amen. And so you have to, you know, I'll just be careful. I'll say this. I'll go to different ministries and I'll say, oh, that's good, but they're a little too far with this or they're a little too far with that. And the whole goal is for us to be balanced in everything that we do. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about healthy churches and what they are. And this is a lesson that is maybe a repeat for some of you all that have been with me for a while. You know, I've taught it in the past couple years, and for some of you all that are new, it's going to be new information. Even if you've heard some of this before, how many know it's good to have a refresher? Amen. All right, the first one I want to explain is that healthy churches are life-giving and not life-draining. Healthy churches are life-giving and not life-draining. You ought to be happy when you leave here and not wore out. You ought to be glad that you came. Does that make sense? Like, you know, if you've been here a while and you've been serving, you know, we shouldn't be wearing you out. Hello, somebody. Everybody should get a break. That's why when you join the Dream Team, we say, you tell us what your schedule is. Like, we're not going to tell you what your schedule is. You're going to tell us, hey, I can do this Sunday, but I can't work that Sunday. And we're going to do whatever it is that you need to do. Because healthy churches are life-giving, and so we're not going to drain you through serving. We're not going to drain you when pastors up here teaching. I'm not going to be fussing at you the whole time I'm up here teaching. I don't believe in fussing. Why? The gospel is good news. It's not bad news. You got it? And so if it's good news, you should be happy that you came and heard the good news of the gospel, that Jesus came to remove all of your burdens and destroy all of your yokes by the power of God. To the degree that you stay in the fight, you are going to win. If you keep swinging, you are going to hit. That's good news and not bad news. You got to walk out of here no matter what you're going through saying, man, I thank you that my best days are ahead of me. You know what? Pastor's right. Seasons change and trouble don't last always. You got it? So you're walking out of here, you got it, and because you came to a life-giving service and not a life-draining service. I don't spend my time telling you how I feel about current events going on. I'm not going to do that. The Lord told me years ago, why would you waste your time doing that? You only, I teach 28 minutes, you got it? And I'm already down to 23, praise the Lord. And so I have about 28 minutes to share the gospel with you, to share the word of God, to share the word of faith. And so I'm not going to spend my time giving you my opinion. I'm going to spend my time giving you the truth of the word of God that's going to change your life. That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. All right, right in the middle of my lesson, I already forgot to do it. If you have not checked on your people down your row, check on the people down your row. Smile at them, wave at them, check to make sure nobody's sleeping. Sometimes people sleep with their eyes wide open, amen? Make sure if they're on their phone, they're not texting, but they're doing no, I'm just playing. All right, here's the next one. Healthy churches have a passionate love for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I love Jesus. I mean, I love him with everything that is within me. I really love Jesus. I love him because he first loved me. I love him because he died and shed his blood for me, and I have an eternal life in heaven because of him. I love him because every day he gives me the peace I need, the joy I need, the happiness I need, the strength I need, the grace I need. You got it? And we realize that. We realize we thrive as a church because of who Jesus is. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so healthy churches have a passionate love for when you really love Jesus, what is on you will get on somebody else. Does that make sense? And so you have to understand the importance of that. Here's another one for you. Healthy churches keep the lost as the main focus of attention. That's a big one. That's a big one. Healthy churches keep the lost as the main focus of attention. I remember when I first came to New Bern, and we had just started pastoring, and I realized really quick, and please don't take this the wrong way when I say this, because it's just an observation. It's not a knock or anything like that, but how traditional this area was and how very religious this area was. So we don't give you religion. We give you relationship. You got it. See, religion is about, you know, a ritual. We do this because we do it. No, but we give you relationship. We let you know, man, Jesus loves you just the way you are. And if you accept it in your heart, you got it, and you start coming and hearing this word over and over, it's going to change your life. So it's not about religion. It's about relationship. You got it? And so, you know, religion is about a ritual. Well, we got to do it this way because we always been doing it this way. You know, and so when we came to the city, we got a lot of flack because we do things a little different. We dress down. You got it? You know, we have lights. You got it? And you know, they a club. No, we're not a club. But when the lights are down, you're not seeing anyone to the left or to the right. The focus, you got it, is for you just to worship God, not to see what somebody else has got on. Praise the Lord. Because when we come to church, it is not a competition. You got it. It is not a, what do you call that when they all dress up? Yeah, it's not a fashion show, praise the Lord. I mean, of course, dress how you like to dress and what you feels good and those kind of things. But put it this way, I didn't put what I put on today in hope that you would say, man, you sure do look nice. Does that make sense? So our church is designed, hear me now, hear me very closely, to win the lost, number one, and to feed the believer, number two. All right? So we are designed to win the lost. And that is why you see dress down culture. Why? Because if, you know, nothing wrong with dressing up, because we have people that dress up and dress down. So you do what you want. And we have a good mix, which is good. So, but if you don't know Jesus and you come in, you got it, and you just come in t-shirt and a jeans, you fit right in with everybody else. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so our services are about 75 minutes. We started at 9 o'clock. We'll be done right around 10:15. Why? Because you might as well, Pastor, I've been in church all my life. You know, you could go at it for an hour, hour and a half. Yeah, you might can take it. You got it. but everybody else can. You got it. Someone who doesn't, you know Jesus, who actually came because someone invited them, you know, at around about an hour, they're like, okay, Rev. About time to wrap it up. You got it. And so the unchurched is not used to long services and things like that. And so what happens is every single week when I develop my lessons, when I develop my ministry moment, it is designed for, number one, if someone is not in the building, you got it? I'm sorry, if someone is not saved in the building, that we're going to do everything we can. We're going to give them the word of God in a way that at the end when we make the appeals, they say, you know what? I want to invite Jesus into my heart, number one. And then number two, two for all of us that come week in and week out, you know you're going to get the word. You're going to leave refreshed. You're going to leave empowered. You're going to leave charged up and ready to go. So we're designed to win the lost and to feed the Christian. Does that make sense? All right. Next one is healthy churches love people. What's that last word, class? All right. We love people unconditionally. You got it. And that is the way God loves us. Unconditionally. So we love people unconditionally. I always say there's no big I's or little U's in the kingdom. And so when you come and you become a part of our family, you are family. You like everybody else. You got it? We don't have this thing where, and there's nothing wrong with this, but early on, a lot of times when people join the church, they come to the front. And that's not a bad thing. A lot of churches do that and that kind of thing. Like I said, we're just different. This is just how God gave it to us. He says, son, don't have people come to the front because people are like, pastor, well, I need to know who is part of WLCC and who is not part of it. Doesn't matter. If you are in the house, you are family, you're our brother, you're our sister, and we're glad you're in the house. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so because we don't do that, you treat everybody in the room like family. You greet everybody. You talk to everybody. We're having ice cream pretty soon. And when, because we'll go outside, Lady LaConte under the canopy, and we'd like to greet, the members and the visitors and those kind of things. We've got ice cream. We never allow someone to be standing by themselves eating ice cream. Isn't that right? You got it. Either you're going to bring them over into your little group or circle, or you're going to leave your little group and circle and go talk to them and find out how they enjoyed the ministry and find out who they are, how they found out about the ministry. You got it. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that we assimilate new people into our church, that by the third or fourth time they walk in, they're like, oh, man, this is my family. I mean, I love it here. They don't have to walk in like, nobody's saying hi to me. You got it. And I feel awkward, because you wouldn't want to go into church and feel awkward. So we're going to make sure that nobody comes into this house and feels awkward. Can I get a big? Yeah. Speaking of ice cream, last week was the first week that we went outside because it was real nice, right? And so one of the children, came up to me and just says, Pastor. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, where's the ice cream? I'm like, well, buddy, it's not summertime yet, but we're getting there, right? You got it. And so I was like, man, at WLCC, kids rule. So next week is my birthday, and we are going to have ice cream under the canopy for my birthday to make sure the little kids and the big kids get ice cream, right? All right. And so we love people, unconditionally. People are important. They are at the top of the list. People are important and everyone should be included. Remember what I just said. People are important and everyone should be included. That is why I like to have fun. That is why I talk about football. You got it. I talk about, Dallas Cowboys, we're making a few changes. I think we're going to be in good shape for next year. You got it. Don't leave that alone. Stay focused. All right. And so, and I like to have a good time. Why? Because, people, you got it. They like to, they like to have a good time. Amen. You got it? And it's okay to come to church and have fun. Jesus is not uptight. You got it? Jesus has a sense of humor. Can I get a? Amen. Yeah. So I've taught you in the past that there's this big study that took place, and I happened to be at a conference where they shared it. They gave us the books and everything. And the number one reason that people don't come to church is because what? Oh, y'all are good. That's right. Nobody invites them. They're not invited. That is the number one reason. But on that list, there's a one, a two, a three, a four, a five, and those kind of things. And I think this was in the top three or four, but the study shows that one of the top reasons, it wasn't the number one reason, but one of the top reasons why people don't attend church is because the members are unfriendly. Can you imagine that? Like, my whole thing is, the whole thing, y'all, is to try to attract people for Jesus and not repel people. Like the church should be the friendliest place on the planet, right? Like, I mean, we should be, if for no other reason, you're going to heaven because Jesus died for you. So you should be happy. You know, I think we get too caught up in culture and in the society, and I think we forget that we're in this world, but we're not of this world, that we're just passing through, that one day you're going to close your eyes here on this earth, and you're going to open your eyes in either heaven or hell, right? I tell people, hell is not a place you go to because God is mad at you. Hell is a place you go because you want to pay for your own sins. But why pay for your own sins when Jesus has already died, shed his blood, and paid for your sins, right? And so the whole thing is we have to be eternity driven, man. We get to go to heaven. So why would we be mad at church? You got it? I can't remember if my dad or somebody used to say, man, you know, some Christians look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. The guy, I don't know about you, but I was excited about coming here this morning. Like, I was ready to come to church. I was like, man, last night, talking to some of my pastor friends, we all texting, we're having a good time, we're talking about where we're going to go on vacation, you know, and those kind of things. And I'm like, man, have a great day tomorrow. You got it? Why? Because tomorrow, we're going to make Jesus big. Tomorrow, we're going to see our family. Tomorrow, decisions are going to be made for Christ. Tomorrow, got it? Watch this, the devil is going to get a black eye. You understand? So we are excited that we're here. So we're not here because somebody made us come here. We're here because we want to be here. You got it? Because when I come, I gain strength for my brothers and sisters. When I come, I'm in worship, and watch this, and the Lord begins to speak to me. When I come, my man or woman of God or whoever's up speaking is going to speak a word, and it's going to hit somewhere along that lesson on where I'm at. Like, if I come and I stay the whole time, something is going to happen at some point in the service that's going to change my life. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so everybody say, don't be a mean Christian. Don't be a mean Christian. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I'm telling you, like, you know, I was very passionate about it last week, you know, and I just had this thing the past month or two where I told Lady Babe, like, I'm not just doing this to do this. Like, I don't need to be, I need to because God called me to, so that I don't want to sound disrespectful, right? But, like, I don't need to be a pastor. I don't need the title. I don't need to be up here and all y'all here and say, oh, he's just a great, like, I'm the kind of guy I don't need. I don't need titles. I don't need positions. You got it? I just want to live a good life. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I want to have a great marriage. Hello, somebody. I want my kids to do well. You got it. I want enough money to take care of everything I need to take care of. And I want to win people for Jesus. So above that, I'm cool. You understand what I'm saying? And so I told her that, you know, I can't just be going through the motions. Like, we have to have momentum in our church. And I've been really praying on that recently. People, like, our members have to be going out and attracting other people and getting them in. And when they get in, they got to get saved. You got it? And then when you bring them in, what you should be doing is checking with them and see how they enjoyed it and those kind of things. It's the whole discipleship thing, that you don't just invite somebody and then that's it and it's over, but stay with them to make sure they understood what Pastor was talking about. Maybe they didn't understand something was going on in the service. You can say, oh, well, yeah, we just do it this way because of this, that, and the other, and those kind of things. We have to understand that we are all called to win the lost to Jesus. Does that make sense? But, you know, we had our dream team meeting and we were talking, and even with the kids' ministries, when the new kids come, we try to tell the teachers, try to remember the kids' names. That way the next time they come, you remember their name, you know, and that's important. Even the parents like that. Even as, you know, one another, we try to learn each other's names. We're not saying we're going to get it the first time, but if you keep coming around, we're going to learn. Lady and I, for sure, we're going to learn your name. You got it. You know, we might not know it the first time or the second, but by the third, the fourth, the fifth time, we done got it down. You got it? Why? Because y'all remember the TV show Cheers? It was a show that was just all around people sitting at a bar. You got it? Now, I know you said, well, Pastor, why in the world are you using, you know, something like that in church? Because the song that came on says, you want to go where everybody knows your name. The whole thing was they went there because it was familiar. They went there because the people at that bar accepted them. They went there because they were happy. You got it? They went there because they knew when they left, they were going to be glad that they came. And that is how it's supposed to be in church. You ought to be able to leave today and say, man, I'm glad I came to church today. I got strengthened. I got empowered. No, the worship team didn't play my favorite song, but that's okay. Maybe they'll play my favorite song next week. You got it? And so you have to understand, was it Maya Angelou that says, people will forget what you said, they'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. Isn't that right? And so you got to understand, how are you making people feel here? How are you making people feel on your job? How are you making people feel in your neighborhood? We can't be smiley Christians in here, and then when we go outside of here, be mean Christians. Can I get a... I'm preaching better than you shouting amen, but it's okay. It's okay. You got it. We're going to do, okay, so, you know, especially if you're a first-time friend, I don't normally do stuff like this, so I'm prepping you right now, okay? So we're going to do something, all right? We're going to have a little exercise. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you to get up, and I'm just going to ask you to just, if you came with somebody, you can talk to the person you came with. If you didn't come with someone, find someone. If you're a member here, you got it. Make sure you're looking for someone who might be by themselves, because we don't want to make anybody feel bad. So this is what we're going to do. In a moment, when I count to three, you're going to get up and you're going to find someone, and we're going to go through a quick exercise. Are y'all ready? All right. All my WLCC members, start looking around. You know who you're going to find. All right. Okay. All right, here we go. One, two, three. Go. Everybody go find somebody. Everybody go find somebody. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Now look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Okay. Oh, here we go. All right. Look at me. Okay, y'all, why y'all already hugging folk and shaking hands? Stop! Stop! Okay, it's our culture, right? So, I want you to look at the person. You got it? And so, yeah, that's right, y'all, yeah, however. So, I want you to, if you need to get in threes, that's fine, or fours, it don't matter. So, I want you to look at the person, right? Do not shake their hand. Do not hug them, their neck, right? But imagine that they just came to church for the first time and you are greeting them for the first time, and I just want you to give them the coldest shoulder, just how you doing or hello. Now, don't do anything disrespectful. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on, we're still in the house of the Lord. All right? So, you know, just kind of like, you know, that kind of thing. Here we go. One, two, three. Okay. All right? Okay, now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Now I want you to imagine, right, that somebody just came to church who you know, who is a friend, maybe a family member, and they have been away on a trip for 3 months. And you used to always talk to them, but you have not been able to talk to them because they've been on a mission trip in Africa and had no signal. And you didn't know they were coming today because you thought they were still going to be in Africa for 3 more weeks. And you are shocked but elated. Now, don't hurt nobody, all right? To see them, all right? Okay, here we go. Let's do it. One, two, three. All right. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Y'all can have your seats. Y'all can have your seats. Let me ask you something. What works better, number one or number two? Number two. What kind of church you want to go to, number one or number two? I mean, at the end of the day, if you, watch this, you want to go to number two, right? So if you have to go to a number one job, and if you have to go to, y'all better help me now, if you got to go to a number one job, if I have to live in a number one neighborhood, I at least need to go to a number two church where people are going to love me, greet me, accept me, because people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but my God, they will never forget the way you made them feel. And it's time that we show the love of Jesus, come on somebody, in a way that I don't, doesn't matter if I don't know you, doesn't matter the color of your skin, you might not vote like me, all that is out the water at this point in time, I'm going to show the love of Jesus in an unforgettable way. Does that make sense? So I might have told you this story. I used to go to Dunkin' Donuts all the time. I don't go there anymore. We bought this new house. When we bought this new house, they had this really expensive coffee machine in that I would have never paid for. You got it? I'm not being cheap. I just don't like coffee like that. You understand? You know, it's several thousand dollars. Crazy. You got it? I pray over that thing. Lord, never let it break down, because I'm not promising I'm going to buy another one of those things. Right? So, but now this coffee, y'all, you put beans in it, and you tell it how much you want it to grind, and, you know, at what percentage, and I mean it's ridiculous, right? And so and the coffee is really good. And so, but I used to go all the time to, oh man, y'all, I haven't gotten to my point yet. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's okay. We in good shape. And so I used to go to Dunkin' Donuts all the time. And when I used to go to Dunkin' Donuts all the time, I would always pay for the person behind me, right? And so this new kid started working there. And I mean, the kid had no confidence, right? Just no confidence. And I could tell the people were kind of fussing. And he was trying to figure it out. It was a lot for him. So I was always nice. He would apologize. Oh, take your time. You know, I would, you know, every time I go, you know, I'll be like, hey, man, how you doing? I think it kind of shocked him. He's like, you know, hey, I'm doing good. You got it? You know, but you know, one day I told him, hey, just keep at it. You're going to figure it out, you know, and those kind of things. And surely, you know, not overnight, but over time, he got better at his job, and he got more confident in his job, and he was doing pretty good. And he was very, he was very confident with me. You got it? And so to the point where I would go, and, you know, he'd be like, hey, sir, how you doing? We were talking, and those kind of things. You know, but what happened was he got a little too confident. Because I was coming and I was, you know, giving my card, you know, to pay for my food. He said, I'll go ahead and swipe and pay for the person behind you. So hold on, wait a minute now. Let me, you know, I know that's what I do, but let me tell you and you don't tell me, right? Well, why did he do that? Because I showed him acceptance, and he had confidence that I could talk to this guy like that. Does that make sense? Because people will forget what you say. They'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget. He's never going to forget the way I made him feel. He probably has thousands of people come through. Everything good? Okay. Ooh, something just... He has thousands of people. I got this ringing in my left ear, but I'm healed in Jesus' name, all right? He has thousands of people that probably come through, right? But watch this. He's never going to forget the guy that came through that made him feel good in the beginning. You got it, to give him help, give him the confidence he needed so he could keep that job. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so everybody, once again, say, don't be a mean Christian. All right. Oh, man, 2 minutes. Oh, everybody say if you had time. If I had time, I would take you to healthy churches have clear vision and values, and I would give you our key, our vision statement, which is pointing you to Christ so you can live a better life. And so we want you to live a better life, and the way you live a better life is if we point you to Christ, if we point you to Jesus. If we point you to Jesus, you are going to live a better life. The Lord told me years ago, teach the word in a simplistic manner where people can understand it, and if they take the word and apply it in their life, they will get results. And I don't know about you, but I am about results. I think this is a good place to go home, Maestro. I think we can kind of wrap it up this way. Have y'all gotten anything out of this lesson today? I'm not even halfway through it, but prayerfully you got what you were supposed to get today, right? If I had time, I would explain that we're a Great Commission church, and that we don't measure the success of our church by how many buildings we build, how much land we have. We got buildings, we got land, how much money we bring in on a big giving day or anything like that. But we measure the success of our ministry by the lives that are being changed and impacted in an amazing way. That's the only measuring stick. You got it? We want to win people. We want to pastor them. We want to train and disciple them. We want to get them involved in ministry. I'll say it again. We want to win people. Number one, we want to get everybody saved. You got it? Nobody should go to hell. Why? Because Jesus has already done his part. And so we want to get everybody saved. Then we want to pastor them. If we're good enough to get you saved, we're probably good enough for you to join our church, right? Then we want to train and disciple you. And that happens, you know, on Sundays. That happens when we have men's meetings and women's meetings. And the young adults get together. And just all kind of small groups. When small groups get together and your schedule allows, jump into a small group. You got it? And then we want to get you involved in ministry. I want everybody to be a part of the dream team. If you're not a part of our dream team, pray about being a part of our dream team. We always need help. You got it? Whether it's parking lot or ushers or, you know, a lot of people don't like to work in the back. You know, I was talking to Travis because he does the lights and stuff. And he's like, yeah, I talked to a few people. They're like, oh, no, I don't want to be back there. And he's like, no, I'm telling you, Pastor makes it easy for you. If you were to mess up, nobody's ever going to know. Why? Because we're a big team. So if they do something in the back, I'm not gonna be like, all right, in the back, they need Jesus back there. Yeah, you know, I'm just telling you, you can't find good help around here no more. And just, why would we do that? We're one big team. You got it? And watch this. This is good. And when we understand that we're one big team, you got it? How many players on a football team? Yeah, total, 53. Yeah, you got it. Total, 53. Watch this. When if they go to the Super Bowl, out of the 53, you got it, let's say 20 of them don't play a lick of the game. They didn't even play in the season. You got it? But they were on the team. Guess what? If they win the Super Bowl, everybody gets the ring. Does that make sense? You may never be up on stage. You may never get on this, but if you'll just do whatever your part is, the reason they're on the team is because they did their part. And you just do whatever your part is. Get plugged in. Get involved somewhere, and then watch this. And then every Sunday when we get the email, Sunday afternoon, saying, hey, this person gave their life to Jesus. This person recommitted their life to Jesus. Guess what? That's a win for the whole team. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Ellen, give me my last scripture, that one that says, let me tell you why you're here, and we're going to pray and go home. It's 10:08. It's not even 75 minutes, so we're doing good. Praise the Lord. No, you don't have it? Hold on. Matthew 5 and 15. Yep, there we got it. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light. Bring out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. He says we're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, God says, I want you to shine. I put you at that job for a reason. I put you in that neighborhood for a reason. You go shopping at that grocery store for a reason. You like to eat lunch there for a reason, because I'm putting somebody there that's going to see the light that you have so you can share your story, so you can share your faith and make a difference in the lives of others. Does that make sense? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest, and that none of the harvest is lost, in Jesus' name. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, maybe you're in this room or you're online. So if I say under the sound of my voice, I mean in the room or online, or even watching later. You're going to watch this broadcast later. Maybe you're some of our military that are just in different time zones. And so you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is absolutely the best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9, if we just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to just believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. That word repent is not a hard word. It's a very easy word. It just means that I was heading in the wrong direction, doing the wrong thing, but I came to the knowledge of Jesus. I realized I needed to repent. And so watch this. I repented, or I just made a U-turn and started heading in the right direction. That's all. Repent is just a change of heart. I start heading in the right direction. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I just want you to know, God's not mad at you. God's not upset with you. God's not done with you. All those things are the furthest from the truth. The truth is God loves you, and he loves you right where you are. But Pastor, I'm struggling in my faith. God loves you. I messed up last night. God loves you, and he's never, ever going to change his mind about you. So maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. Maybe you're a Christian, you just need to repent about some things. Maybe you're watching online, or you're in the room, and you just want to join this amazing church. It's real easy. Those connection cards we talked about, well, we use them for first-time friends. But let me tell you what we also use those connection cards for. If you want to get saved today and you give your life to Jesus, please use that connection card and fill it out and give it to us. If you rededicate your life to the Lord, please fill out that connection card and get it back to us. If you want to join this church, that's how you do it. Just fill out the connection card and get it back to us. If you're in the room, then the seat pocket's located in front of you, and we also have our QR codes up on the screen as well. And so this is what we're going to do. We are going to pray. What are we praying for, Pastor? We're going to pray for those who need to give their life to Jesus, or those who need to rededicate their lives to Jesus, or those Christians that need to repent. But we're all going to pray as a big family. Why? Because it's going to help the person next to you that needs to pray this prayer. So I'm going to ask everyone, if you will repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. A holy God, I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil word. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done today. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big praise all over the building?